All right, tonight, if you would, take your Bibles, turn to the book of 2 Kings, and we'll be in chapter number 2 tonight. 2 Kings chapter 2. This will be a third in, I guess, what you call a short series of three. We could do a whole lot more, but tonight we'll finish up some things on Elijah, introduce Elisha to us. Certainly you can say that Elijah was a man that was acquainted with miraculous works in his own life, miracles that he did, miracles that the Lord did for him, and things that were out of the ordinary. And so Elijah is a very, I guess you would say, a colorful character in the Old Testament. Has a lot of things that are said even in the New Testament about him. He comes on the scene immediately announcing that there's going to be a drought. There's not going to be any rain for a period of 3 years, or at least it really said, according to my word. And so he comes on the scene in a miraculous way, speaking a miracle message for the to the people of Israel and to the wicked king Ahab. And then Elijah leaves this world in a miraculous way also. He was taken up in a whirlwind. He did not have to die. He did not have to be buried. He was taken up in a whirlwind. Again, that was a miracle in his life. I looked and did some looking this week concerning Elijah and the miracles. So you can find a two or three different list of miracles that Elijah did, and things that were associated with him. I found one list that had 16 different miracles. I found one that had 14. And then the list that really, to me, is more along the line of his miracles is a list of 8. And those are things that he did miraculously through the work of the Lord. And some of these other things that God did that were miracles for him. And so we read tonight in 2 Kings chapter number 2, we find the end of life for this individual and the introduction of his, we could call, understudy, Elisha. And we'll read tonight as they travel along their pathway and their road, you'll find some things out here that the Lord will do for them, even in the leaving of Elijah. In verse number 1 of chapter 2, 2 Kings, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yes, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, as they had gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, and parted them asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof." And he said unto him, no more, and he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces, and took up the mantle of Elisha that fell on him, and went back and stood at the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Here's the reading of the departure of this great man, Elijah. We'll look at some more things about him tonight, sort of as a conclusion of a lot of things that we could have talked about and should have maybe, and made this a little bit longer, but just to think about the greatness of God in the life of this man, Elijah. The scripture says in the book of James that he is a man of like passion as all of us. He was just a normal human being. He was as we noticed in the first message, he was a servant of God. He was a man of God. And he was used of the Lord greatly because of his willingness to be a servant of God. And we noticed last week the contrast between Elijah, the servant of God, and the other, his name left me last week. I don't have my notes. Y'all didn't listen either, so we'll go on. Obadiah, there it is. It was coming to me. Obadiah, the servant of Ahab. The Bible says he was a man that greatly feared the Lord, but yet he did his work. He did what he did for the Lord. He did it in secret where no one knew, because he was more afraid of the royalty. He was more afraid of the powers that were in power at that day. And so he was a man that feared the Lord, but yet he did it in secret. He was one of those, what we call sometimes a secret servant. But Elijah was not that way. He was very open, and he was very eloquent in the things that he did. Here tonight we read where Elisha asked what Elijah said was a very hard thing. He said, Elijah asked him, he said, "What would you have for the Lord to do for you when I depart? And when I leave here," he said, what do you want God to do for you?" And Elisha said, "Give me a double portion of your power." Now, can you imagine having a double portion of the power of this man, Elijah? How that God had used him and blessed him and abundantly had manifested himself to the wicked kingdom and to the wicked people, and how that he was used of God to destroy the servants of Baal. And here is Elisha. He's following him everywhere he goes. The scripture here tells us that Elisha knew that this was going to be the last day. He knew that was the last time they was going to be together. And he said, "I'm not leaving you anywhere." In those three places that are mentioned, he said, "I'm going with you." And then he says, "I want a double portion of your power." And Elijah said, hard thing to do. And he said, "But nevertheless, if you see me leave, if you see me depart, then God will give you the double portion of the power of Elijah. But if you do not see me, then God will not give that." And so as they continued walking, and I'm sure Elisha took not his eyes off of Elijah because he did not know. And of course the scripture tells us here that all of a sudden appeared the chariot of fire, the horses of fire, and caught up Elijah, and he was taken out of the sight, and he was translated to heaven. It's a type of the rapture of you and I. We'd be taken out of this world one day and not have to suffer death, not have to go that way of dying. And so Elisha sees that, and Elisha has the mantle, or that what we'd call a more like a scarf that they would carry, and the mantle of Elijah fell on Elisha, and through that God gave him a double portion. It's an interesting study, and maybe someday we can do this and notice the different miracles that are attributed to the life of Elijah. And if the folks that I read, one of them had 16 that Elijah did, and then they listed Elisha's and they had 32. And so there's a double portion. There's another list that had had the 14, and then they had Elisha's list at 28. But then the personal miracles that God used Elijah to do is a list of 7 or 8. And when you come to Elisha's personal things that he did, that God gave a miracle in his life, it is doubled what Elijah had. So certainly the Lord gave Elisha a double portion. He's not as popular as Elijah, but he had double the portion of power that God had for them. And when when we look at Elijah and Elisha in the Old Testament, they certainly are dynamic, and they are exciting characters to study about. And both of them were truly used of God, and what was a great testimony of Jehovah to Israel. You have to remember, Israel was in wickedness. Israel was steeped in sin and idolatry. And here is Elijah making his statements, and here's Elijah doing the miracles that God gave him, and now his ministry is ending. But it's an interesting thing to note that just because one individual's ministry ends, the work of God never does end. There's always somebody to take up the mantle. There's always somebody that will take up the slack and stand in the gap and proclaim the message. And so we find that Elisha has a request. Give me double portion of your power. Now, this departure of Elijah is not a signal to the end of God's work to Israel to try to get them to come back, because God is going to carry that on through this ministry of this younger prophet Elisha and do some of those things that are very miraculous in his life. He is told here, he asks here, says, what do you want me to have, or what do you want from God? And he said, a double portion. And he gives him a promise. He said, if you see me leave, God will do that. And so you come to verse number 12, and Elisha saw it. And he cried, he says, my father, the chariot of Israel. So the scriptures tell us here that Elisha saw the incident of Elijah being taken out of this world by a fiery chariot. And he takes up this mantle in verse 13. And he goes and he stands before the bank of Jordan. He is going back the way they came. And what Elijah's last miracle was becomes the first miracle of Elisha. He takes that mantle, he smokes the water, he walks across Jordan on dry ground. And so what is last for Elijah became the first miracle of many more, around 32 more different miracles that was performed by and because of Elisha. God reveals the power. Now, the power was not in that mantle. The power is in God. But God always manifests himself in some way. And he stands there at the brink of the river. He puts the mantle into the water. And the Bible says the water parted. And so this becomes the first miracle of Elisha. And notice verse number 14. He took that mantle and fell upon him, smote the water, and said, and as he smites the water, he says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Is he going to show up for me? Is he going to be here for what I ask? Elijah said he would do that. I've seen him go. He said, now, where's the Lord God of Elijah? What a wonderful question that is. Where is the Lord of Elijah? Where's the Lord God? Where's Elijah's Jehovah? Where is his God? And he's still alive. Elijah's gone, but, well, God's still alive. Elijah's ministry is over, but God still has a ministry to be performed and to be done. One of these days, our ministries, our lives will be over. But that doesn't stop the work of the Lord, doesn't stop the message of God, because there'll be someone that will take up the mantle, someone that will take up the position of preaching the gospel that they have in their heart and their life. Because our Lord never changes. Thank God tonight we have an unchangeable God. He's the same today, He's the same yesterday, and He's the same day tomorrow. And He'll be the same way 100 years from now and as He was 1,000 years before. So His ways never change. His position never changes. He is the Lord God of heaven. His power never changes. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59, verse number 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear." Luke 1:37 says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." What a wonderful promise that is. Nothing comes before God that is impossible. Now, there's a lot of things come before me, and there's a lot of things come before you. And we say that we can't do that. But we can do it in the power of God if He so chooses us to be used that way. And so His position, He's always God, always has been, always will be. His power has never changed. And He is just as powerful today as He was when Elijah walked upon this earth. And He'll be just as powerful in eternity as He is right now, because He's God. He changeth not. And His purity never changes. The Bible says in Isaiah 57 and verse number 15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." Where is the dwelling place of God? Where is His habitation? Where is His house? It's in eternity. And by the way, that's the only time eternity is used in the Scripture. And it has in reference to where God is. So, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and holy place, with him also in the continuing humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." 1 Peter 1:16, the Bible says, "It is written, Behold, be ye holy, for I am holy." That is the purity of our God. Now, we may strive to be holy, but we fall far short. We may strive to be perfect in our life, but we fall short. We may strive to be as pure and as good as we can be, but we fall short because we are but flesh. We are humans, and the only one that comes up to that is that high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. He's holy. And He says, "Now, because I'm holy, you be holy also." That means we're to strive for it, we're to look for it, we're to work and serve God to be holy. And His purity never changes, and He's just as pure now as He was 2,000 years ago when Jesus walked upon this earth. He's just as pure now as when He said, "Let there be light, let the sun shine, let there be light." And He created all the creative acts in the book of Genesis. And so we find He is just as holy now as He was then, and He'll not lose one portion of that in eternity that is before us. His purpose has never changed also. We're talking about our God. Because Elijah's leaving, Elisha's coming on the scene, but they have the same God. They have the same one that helped them. Isaiah 45 and Luke chapter 19 tells us that we're to He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's always been the task of our God. To seek those that are fallen away. To seek those that have gone off into idolatry. To seek after them. And He uses men like Elijah. He uses men like Elisha that had twice as many miracles as Elijah did. Used of God twice as much. And God was doing all that in their ministries, in their lives, to bring Israel back to the place He wanted them to be, and that's just to serve and worship Him. What a blessing it is for you and I to know the Lord God of Elijah. Elisha says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is he? Is he going to manifest himself? And of course, he did. I heard a message one time, and I think I even preached by the same title one time, a message. It's not where is the Lord God of Elijah, but where are the Elijahs today? Where are those that are surrendered? Where are those that are willing? Where are those that will do and give and go and serve as Elijah did? Our country, again, we have seen demonstrated today that we are a country filled with ungodliness, hatred. We're a country that have people that destroy and try to tear down. And what a tragic event of this day there upon some of our congressmen, those that man doing all the shooting. It just tells us that there's not enough Elijahs. It tells us there's not enough doing the work. It tells us there's not enough proclaiming the gospel. For the gospel changes the hearts and lives of people. It's not programs that the government give out. It's not the money that government can divvy out to different folks for different things. The only thing that changed the heart is the gospel. And the only thing that changes the way we live is a heart that's been changed by the gospel. And until that happens, then we're going to continue to see. Who would have ever thought just a few years ago that we would see the killing and the shootings and the different things that are taking place in our country like a third world country? We used to be called a civilized nation, but now we've lost our civilization. And we're losing it more and more as time goes on. What a blessing to know where the Lord God is. What a blessing it is to know the God of Elijah, the God of Elisha. I want to just read some of these. I won't read all of them, but some of the miracles that are attributed to Elijah. The list I have here is 14, and some of them are directly from him. Some of them are just simply what the Lord did through him. And, of course, he comes on the scene and he gives a statement that it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. Not even going to be any dew. And that's how he's introduced. He's introduced as a man with a strong statement to a nation torn away from God. And he leaves this world in a whirlwind, in a chariot of fire, and he leaves a man that's behind him going to do twice as much as he did. Of course, we know that that he was fed by the ravens. The scripture tells us that God told, after he tells Ahab that it's not going to rain, he says, you go down to the brook Cherith, and there you'll be fed. And the brook dried up, and he sends him to a lady that needed more oil and had a cruse of oil, a barrel of meal that wasted not as long as Elijah was there. And we find that we've read about there in 1 Kings 18, he called the fire down from heaven upon the altar, and then he says, go look and see, tell me what you see. And he said, well, we see a little cloud out there. He said, you better get ready because it's going to come a flood. The drought was over. He said, on my word it'll stop raining, on my word it'll start raining. And God gave him that power. He gives a prophecy of Ahab's sons that would all be destroyed, and that took place in 1 Kings chapter 21. In 2 Kings chapter 1, there's a group of 50 soldiers, and he calls fire down from heaven upon those different soldiers. That took place twice. And then we finally parted the Jordan, and he's caught up in a whirlwind. So there's a lot of things involved in the life and the miracles of Elijah. So Elisha said, I want that. I want what you've got. Have you ever seen somebody say, boy, I wish I had what they had. I wish I had the freedom. I wish I had the power. I wish I had the liberty. I wish I just had the ability that so-and-so has. And that's really what Elisha was wanting in his life. He said, I want a double portion. And so he starts out parting the Jordan. We just read that a moment ago. And then we find that he curses the she-bears, and they are destroyed. He fills a valley with water, and he miracles of the vessel of oil, and on, twice as many as Elijah had. There's 14 listed here of Elijah, and there's 28 listed here of Elisha. God gave him exactly what he asked for. You see, God can do that for us. God can give us what we ask for. And we have not because we ask not. And so many times we ask wrong, and God is not able to do that. And so the floating axe head, we've all heard about that. And the the different prophecies of a famine, the seven-year famine that he prophesies in 2 Kings chapter 8. So immediately, we're in 2 Kings chapter 2, and just a few pages over, Elisha is busy giving the miracles, giving the prophecies of the Lord. And then when you have, as I said a while ago, when you have the personal miracle, the things that he did, that God used him in a personal way, you have eight of those, and then in Elisha there are 16. So it doesn't matter which way you look at it, doesn't matter which way you count it, doesn't matter what you include about the miracles, God gave a double portion just like he said he would. Why? Because the purpose of God never changes. He wants men, he wants people, he wants mankind to know that he is God. And I don't know if God's trying to get our attention as a country, but I'll tell you what, if God wants to, he can get our attention. And it may not be as good as we would want it to be, but Elijah was used of, he was a great man. He was a praying man. James says he was a man of passion. Same passion, same desire, same spirit in him as we have. Elijah does not come on the scene as a superhuman or a superman. He doesn't come on the scene with something spectacular. He just comes on the scene with the power of God in his life. And willing to speak it, willing to say it, and even willing to give the message to the king when the king was wanting to destroy him from the very beginning. And so he was a praying man that had passion like everybody else. He had the power of his prayer. God heard his prayers. God answered his prayers. And now Elisha said, I want God to answer my prayer. I want God to do for me the same thing that he's done for Elijah. He was persistent in his prayer. In his purpose, he continued on. He never did give up. There's only one place, one flaw that you can find in the life of Elijah, and that's when Jezebel got after him and he became fearful. And I look at that and say, how in the world can a man see all the power of God that he saw and then get afraid of one woman called Jezebel? Then all of a sudden, we look in the mirror and we see ourselves fearful of less things than that. All that God has done for us, all that God has done for me, and sometimes I still say, God, can you do it? Will you do it? And of course he will. And so he was a man that was like everybody else. He had his sins. He said, God, just kill me. Get me out of here. Let me die. Let me die a death. No one know where I am. Just let me die. And God said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Why are you here? Why are you standing under this tree? He's under a vine, under a tree. He was just under the circumstances. He's just cut off the heads of the prophets of Baal. And now old Jezebel said, you're going to be just like them this time tomorrow. And he's scared to death. He runs. And so we find that he was a man that was like passioned. He wasn't super, and he had his weaknesses, but he had his persistence, and he was always persistent in the order of what God had given him. Elijah was a powerful man, had power with God, and we're just sort of surmising his life. He had power over the drought. We read that. He said, it's not going to rain except on my word, and then he comes on the scene. And it rains at his word. He had power over drought. He had power over death. 2 Kings chapter 17, or 1 Kings rather, chapter 17, verse 22. He had power over the prophets of Baal. Now there in 1 Kings chapter 18, he destroyed every one of them. So everything he put his hand to do, God blessed him, and God honored him and gave him a ministry to bring people back unto the Lord. But he was a peculiar man also. We look at him and say, wow, He was a peculiar in his ministry, peculiar in his message. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 21, his message here, we read it last week, I believe it was, "How long halt ye between two opinions? When are you going to make up your mind, Israel? How long are you going to be a Jewish believer, and then how long are you going to drop that and be an idolater? How long halt?" The word halt there means sort of they had a stuttering attitude, as a man or a woman would stutter in their speech, not able to get the words out as clearly as maybe other people. He says here they are stuttering, or they're here halting between these opinions of who God is. And before Elijah got done and his ministry, they knew who God was. God of Elijah was a God of fire, a God of judgment, a God of consuming that which was wicked. I think it's very appropriate, probably the most known miracle that happened in the life of Elijah is that 62 or 3 word prayer that he prayed, and God sent fire down from heaven and consumed everything that was there. And they had already put the water on it, and that precious commodity of water hadn't rained in 3.5 years, and Elijah just pouring barrel on top of barrel on top of barrel of that precious commodity of water. Can you imagine how they were thinking about him, how wasteful he was? He's doing things that's destroying what we can have. And God is telling him to do that because he wants to make sure there's no problem, no incident of someone saying, well, it's just a hoax. And God called fire down out of heaven. And I think it's very appropriate that God took him to heaven in the chariot of fire. He's known as the prophet of fire. And so we find his preaching was a peculiar. He says, you're going to get on one side of the fence or the other. No longer halting. We're going to find out who God is. And before it was over, they knew who God was. And it was Jehovah. He was very peculiar in his presentation. In 2 Kings chapter number 1. 2 Kings 1:18. It says, "And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did not I tell thee that thou wouldst prophesy no good concerning me but evil?" Here we find old Ahab said, "Didn't I tell you that man Elijah, he's not going to say anything good about me?" Well, there wasn't anything good to say about Ahab. God calls out the good and the bad, and when there's no good, he don't make it up. He's not like we do. And so he's talking to Jehoshaphat, the king is talking to him, and he said, "Did not I tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil?" That's the prophecy and the presentation of Elijah. He spoke the word of God without any pretense. He spoke it without any presence of mind that something might happen to him. He was forceful, and God blessed him. And then we find that he's very peculiar in his leaving this world, going to heaven. To be like Elijah and to be like that man that God said, you're not going to have to die. Only one other person in the scripture that's told, we're told about that, and that's Enoch. The Bible says he walked with God back in the early chapters of Genesis. Enoch walked with God, and then the Bible says, and God took him, and Enoch was not. He did not have to go by way of death. He did not have to go by way of the grave. And now Elijah, very, very particular, very peculiar in their passage into heaven. And you know, one day we're going to go the same way they went, right through the air to the very presence in the throne room of our God. I'm glad tonight that the scripture gives us the story of Elijah. It gives us the story and the ongoing story of the ministry of God in the land of Israel, through this man, Elisha, that said, all I want is just a double portion. Somebody has said Elisha was a very selfish man. No, he wasn't selfish. I don't believe you can become too selfish wanting the power of God. I don't believe you can have too much of God's power. And Elisha said, if he can do that for Elijah, he can do twice as much for me if I'll let him. And so Elisha becomes that prophet that also is a servant, a man of God, just like Elijah. May the Lord help us tonight to be Elijah, Elisha, not be Ahab, not be those that played the part, not those that were in secret, but be known and be spoken of as a person that really, truly loves God. And pray that the Lord would help us to do that. And this old King Ahab, he said, I hate him. You know why he hated him? He told him the truth. You know why the world hates the child of God tonight? Because true Christianity tells the truth. Tells us what we are. Tells us who we are. Tells us where we're going. You hear someone anymore, when someone passes away, doesn't matter how wicked they were, doesn't matter how bad they were, doesn't matter how ungodly they were, well, I know they're up there looking down on us. They're not looking down. Our God is a holy God, a righteous God, and He judges according to truth. So may God help us to be Elijah, Elisha, men that would, people that would serve the Lord unquestioning. And say, Lord, I just want all the power you can give me. What you can trust me with, God, I want that. I desire that. May the Lord help us to have that spirit. Let's stand tonight.